tonight on Arena. Selena Cartmell on the path ahead for Dublin's Gate Theatre, and Pat Carty on U2's ongoing YouTube offerings. +51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Tomorrow sees U2 continue their virtual tour on YouTube with the release of Live at Red Rocks from 1983, following on from last week's broadcast of U2 Go Home, live from Slane Castle in 2001. Over the next few weeks, the band will broadcast Pop Mart, live from Mexico City, and their emotionally charged 2015 show from Paris shortly after the terrorist attacks in that city. I'm joined now by U2 aficionado Pat Carty, who has seen every tour since 1987. So the credentials, Pat, are fairly sound here.
I heard a rumour today, Sean, that you have not seen them at all.
Not live, but I've listened to a lot of them.
I don't know what you've been doing with your time over the last 33
years. Well, clearly you've been doing nothing else with your time but going to U2 tours.
Nothing else. I mean, I follow them around. I sleep outside Bono's house most of the time as well.
So tell me, everybody talks about U2 and the live performance and how essential that is to actually what the band do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously they've made some classic records. I could name four at least off the top of my head. But to see them live, and in the instance of the Slane show that you mentioned there, to see them live in Ireland is a pretty amazing experience. That no matter how many shows or how many other people that you've seen, there is something special about it. Now, I know it's a national pastime to have a go at them and everything, but that's where they really shine.
Yeah, well, that Slane Castle concert from 2001, I mean, they always talk, I think, they themselves, and that's not surprising that they put that out on St. Patrick's Day last week. That was so emotionally charged. You were there yourself. Could you sense the emotion in the crowd? Hadn't there been the World Cup qualifier? We'd just beaten Holland in the World Cup qualifiers as well that day. So there was national hysteria, I'm sure, down in Slane.
Well, there's another thing as well. I mean, that for very rare occurrence down in Slane, there was two shows that year because there was such a demand for tickets. So they played the week before, which was, I think, only a day or two after Bono's father's funeral.
Yeah.
And then the one that was recorded then was on the 1st of September, as you say. Now, just from a personal point of view, my own father had died only recently as well. So I was wide open to have a bit of a brown rice and lentils experience, if you know what I mean, at that concert. And I had a few Chardonnays going in as well, of course, so that didn't hurt. And it was an amazing concert. I mean, I think of all the concerts I've seen, it might be the best thing I've ever seen by anybody.
And did you watch it again?
Oh, I have watched it several times.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Well, even before that, I bought the DVD, and sometimes when there's a bottle open at home, I might put it on sometimes, and it does really capture what happened on that. Now, as you say, I don't know an awful lot about soccer, as you can probably tell straight away, but we were watching that game in the crowd. They put it on the screen. So we were watching that before that, and then, of course, McAteer gets the goal and Ireland wins. So, you know, if people weren't in a great mood before that, they were certainly ready for it after that.
Yeah, well, certainly from the concerts that I've watched at different points along the way, there is something that they do on stage that is very different from what other bands do. I'll come back to Slane before the end of this, but let's talk about tomorrow and Live at the Red Rocks from 1983. That will be released. Again, all of these are free on YouTube now, it has to be said. So you can just go on and watch them. There's no charge for getting in there. You say this is the kind of the end of U2 Mark I, this concert. And how important was that concert in establishing them in America?
Yeah, I think you have to remember that it was recorded in 83, and I think maybe it didn't come out till the following year. But we're talking about the time when MTV ruled the roost in America. And U2 had made, you know, plenty of inroads already, but they weren't where they were going to be. But Paul McGuinness, their manager at the time, had a background in film, so he knew that the effect that this could have of getting their live show out there. And a lot of the clips from this show went on heavy rotation on MTV, and it really did break them in America. I mean, people talk about Live Aid, but they'd already, I think, played Madison Square Garden before that, so they were a big deal even then. And Under Blood Red Sky is the main reason why, I think.
Of course, it contains a very famous song and a very famous introduction. Let's just listen to that famous introduction. Remember 1983, remember where Ireland, and in particular Northern Ireland, was at in the 1970s and 80s. This is 1983 and this is Bono.
There's been a lot of talk about this next song. Maybe too much talk. This song is not a rebel song. This song is Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and that has performed by U2 live at the Red Rocks in Denver, Colorado. And that full concert will be available live, or will be available on YouTube from tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th of March. 1983 in Denver, Colorado, and the problems... You would think this would be an Irish problem. They had problems with the weather.
They did, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't see, first of all, Sean, because you can't see me in the other studio, but I'm after putting a hole in the desk with the eardrum into that. That's just fantastic. But, yeah, the weather, as you say, they'd put a lot of their own money into this, you know, invested in with the record company as well. So it was a lot riding on it. And, on, you know, they had a sellout tour of similar-sized venues, and this place had sold out, Red Rocks in Colorado, and they get there on the day, and there's flood warnings, there's torrential rain. And a lot of people told them, listen, it can't go ahead. And I think they decided at 1 o'clock on the day of the show itself for it to go ahead. And a lot of the crew didn't want to do it, a lot of the local crew. So McGuinness had to make Paul McGuinness had to make a quite famous Errol Flynn, Robin Hood kind of speech down underneath the stage. And, you know, who's with me, that kind of thing. That there was so much riding on this. But it kind of, and the place was half full, but, you know, luckily because of the mist of the rain, you can't really see that in the video. And... I mean, it adds to it because a lot of it is torch lit and you have the mist and things like that and the rain, and you can see the rain falling on the crowd. So again, you know, it just worked out for them.
Yeah, and the song Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and the controversy around the lyrics there and the political content, where does that stand in 2021?
Well, if people remember later on, Rattling Home, that there was a very emotional scene in that where Bono, you know, made a speech before, as he tends to do, and they still play that. I mean, even on the last tour where I saw them a few times, they played that, but they've rearranged it again. I mean, despite and because of the lyrics, I mean, it's just a great rock and roll song. Mm. And in a live context, I mean, you know, you might get fired up and your emotions and all that, but you're jumping up and down.
Next Thursday then, April the 1st, Pop Mart Live from Mexico City will be available. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about what the boys are wearing, I think, here, don't we?
You have to. Absolutely. I mean, I can remember this. They played in Lansdowne. I think it used to be still called Lansdowne at that stage in 1987.
Oh, it probably was then. I'm not sure about
they played
when that changed.
Two dates on that tour. One, the night that Princess Diana died, if I remember rightly. Anyway, Bono comes out. He's got bubble trousers and a muscle T-shirt, and he's got a hoodie on, and he comes out into the crowd like a boxer. The Edge seems to have decided he's joining the Village People with the hat and the mustache cowboy outfit. Adam Clayton, now, I don't know what was going on there. He had an army helmet on, and, well, actually, I suppose he was thinking decades ahead. He had a surgical mask on for a lot of the show. And, of course, Larry Mullen, who must have a very, very distressed portrait in his attic still, just looked like Larry Mullen. He just looked cool, as he always does.
He
just had the regular Larry Mullen outfit on, T-shirt, jeans, good haircut, good man himself. Nice smell, got his own teeth, fair play.
So he looked cool in your mind at any rate. That gives us a sense, what you're saying there, all the clothes that they were wearing. Obviously, there was always an aesthetic with the tours. There was a huge visual side to them. That's essential to understanding why these tours are well worth watching in the YouTube versions.
Well, I mean, the Pop Mart one, it pales slightly against what just went before, because, and it's strange maybe that they didn't put one of these up, but the Zoo TV tour after Acton Baby is an incredibly innovative thing. If you think of where they got in 4 or 5 years from Joshua Tree to there, you know, with the screens and everything. And Pop Mart then has this kind of what they call the Kmart aesthetic, whereas it has this huge golden arch, not two, because they didn't want McDonald's lawyers on the phone, a big basket on the top, and then the famous giant lemon that they used to, that spun around. They were inside this now, spun around, and then they come out and do a song. And luckily, this night in Mexico in 1987, it worked. But on another night, say Oslo in Norway, they got stuck in the lemon and the song was playing and all you could see from the crowd apparently was the shadows of the four fellas sitting inside it. And eventually some of the road crew managed to open it back, very Spinal Tap that, but they took it in good humour. But the songs on this, you know, it follows up the pop album, which they said themselves since that they weren't 100% happy with, but it's still a great performance. They're still great songs.
2015, and this is going to be the fourth one. I don't know if it's the final one. Certainly in this batch, it would seem it is. The Innocence and Experience tour, very recent indeed, from 2015. Yeah. Again, Bono live on stage and how Bono introduces tracks, how Bono introduces people is extraordinary.
It is.
Now, we were only a few weeks away from the Bataclan disaster where the American band Eagles of Death were on stage. Mm. 90 people killed on the night in that particular venue. So Bono is on stage in Paris a few weeks later. This is what he says.
These are our brothers, our fellow troubadours. They were robbed of their stage 3 weeks ago, and we would like to offer them ours tonight. Would you welcome the Eagles of Death Metal?
People have the power. What a lyric to be singing 3 weeks after the Bataclan massacre on stage in Paris. And the extraordinary thing there, Pat Carty, in terms of what you two did, they kind of stood back and became the backing band for these guys. It was an extraordinary act of generosity.
Yeah, that's a Patti Smith song. And as you say, yeah, Eagles of Death Metal were playing that night in the Bataclan when the attacks took place. And yeah, they brought them on. This is at the end of the concert. Brought them on. Did people have the power? And then I think they handed over their instruments to the band and walked off.
Wow.
And let them do, they did their own song then to finish Love You All the Time, I think is the name of it. But, I mean, the way that they reacted to that, I mean, you two were in town, you know, around the time of the attacks, they had four shows booked in this Accor Hotels arena. And they got to play two of them and two of them were cancelled. So they rescheduled them and went back. And this is the last show then of that tour. And it was City of Blinding Lights that on the screen, you know, they had the names of all the people who'd passed away and everything. It is a very emotional concert. I mean, there's great links back to
Bono's childhood home and all of that.
Absolutely.
We get pictures of the childhood home put up on screen. So
yeah.
you get a real sense of the innocence and experience that is at the heart of what the tour was saying. You'll be watching all four of them. You've already seen one. You'll be watching tomorrow.
I've seen them all, but sure, I'll watch them again. Yeah,
why not? Yeah. Go Home Live from St. Castle was last week. Live at Red Rocks, 25th of March. 1st of April, Pop Mart Live from Mexico City. And the 10th of April then, the Live in Paris Innocence and Experience. So bring you back to Slane for a brief moment.
Do, I wish you could.
Beautiful day live. What do you remember about this?
Oh, Janie, which it all blends into one. It's just, I remember I'll tell you what I remember. Do you remember those hammers that they had for the match? The blow-up hammers and the tricolours?
Yeah.
And they were all being waved in the air and thrown around the place. And then in New Year's Day, Bono takes the tricolour from the crowd, wraps it around himself, and he says, just for a minute, he says, imagine it's Jason McAteer. Fantastic.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Sean. Thought you found a friend to take you out of this place.
There we have Beautiful Day from the live, which is yet the Live at Slane concert that went out last week as part of U2's virtual tour. Next, tomorrow night, Live at Red Rocks from Denver, Colorado, 1983. The following week, Pop Mart Live from Mexico City, 1997. And lastly, Innocence and Experience Live in Paris for Trance 2015. And that is going out on April the 1st, I do believe.